I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me the Old Testament to the Psalms. And we'll go to Psalm 40 as we stand to our feet. We find here what's known as the Messianic Psalm. In other words, we see the Lord in this, the Lord Jesus Christ. And many say this is a picture of His death and His resurrection, and certainly we can understand that. It's also a psalm of praise for us to understand certain things about things associated with the death and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to see some things that God has given to us. The psalmist writes, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, setting my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." I want to preach this morning on, "He inclined unto me, and heard my cry." Let's pray together. Father, we love You. Lord, we're so glad that beyond this life, there's life eternal. Lord, for those that have trusted Thee and know beyond any shadow of a doubt that Christ is our Savior, heaven's going to be our home. Lord, we realize that the end of this life is something even greater. Lord, now as we look into Thy Word, I pray that our hearts will be touched, blessed, and encouraged. Lord, I know me and my frailties, and Lord, I pray that You'll help me. Lord, not to stand in the power of self, but Lord, to stand in the power of the Holy Spirit and to preach the Word of God in truth with unction. I pray, Lord, please hide me behind the cross. Lord, today I pray that we'd hear from Thee. If there be one here without Christ as Savior, I pray that this would be the day to come to know Thee. Lord, I pray for the saint of God, saved, and heaven's going to be our home. Maybe discouraged today, it would be encouraged. And then, Lord, maybe for that believer that strayed from Thee, from Thy blessings, from Thy fellowship, I pray today that fellowship would be restored. And Lord, we'd walk in the power of Thy truth. Lord, we'll give You the glory for all that's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. Please be seated. David's writing this psalm, and he writes, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry." I'm glad for the day the Lord heard my cry, aren't you? If you're here today and you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, there was a day in your life where you cried out to God. God did a miraculous work. When the Lord hears us and inclines unto us and hears our cry, there's some things that He gives us. And we see three things that the Lord gives us here in this passage of Scripture as we understand this. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. And He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, for our sins. And there is a day in our life where we have to realize we're a sinner and that He's the Savior. And we call out to Him and He gives us some things. Number one, I want you to see that He gives us salvation. Notice what the Bible says. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry." And listen to this. "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit." The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans chapter number 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says this, "For whosoever shall" what? "Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He heard my cry, the Bible says. And when he heard my cry, you know what the Bible says? He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay. You know what we were today before we were saved? We were stuck in the pit of sin. I mean, we were stuck in the muck and the mire of the world. We were on our way to a devil's hell, deserving of every bit of hell that we could possibly get. But the Lord Jesus Christ heard our cry when we called upon the name of the Lord, and he saved us. He pulled us up out of that horrible pit. I know what I deserve today. You know what you deserve today. We all deserve eternal destruction and damnation according to the Word of God, for we're all sinners. We're not good enough to go to heaven. We've not done enough good deeds. We've not turned over enough new leaves. It's not in what we've done, though. It's in what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. That's the reason I can rejoice today, because beyond the gates, there is a better life for me. Because I called out to the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Think about it. We were walking in darkness, and he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but he's quickened us. He made us alive. That's what Jesus has done. You remember when you called out to the Lord? Do you remember a day in your life where you recognized yourself as a sinner, understood that he was the Savior, you confessed to him, and you called upon him, and he saved you? I hope that day's been in your life. I hope there's been a moment in your life where you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, where you can say beyond any shadow of a doubt that he gave me salvation. Can I ask you a question today? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if Jesus Christ were to return today, or if death were to come knocking at your door, can you say, I know I'm on my way to heaven? I'd hate to go through life hoping so, thinking so, saying maybe so, when the Bible says you can know so. That's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. He's given us this record, those that believe on the name of the Son of God, right? That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, I'd like for you to look at that with me, 1 John chapter number 5. We have not a hope-so salvation, not a maybe-so salvation, not a possibly-so salvation, but we have a no-so salvation. The Bible says these things, chapter number 5, 1 John chapter 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. There it is. That's the key. Have you put your faith in Jesus, not in self? Your faith is in the Savior, not in self? You know that you're going to heaven not because you've done good, not because you've been baptized, and not because you've joined the church, not because you've partaken, you have partaken of communion, not because you've done a good deed, not because your mom and daddy saved, but because you have believed on the name of the Son of God. That's how you know you're saved. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may hope. That there's a possibility that you have eternal life. Is that what it says? Are you there? Are you looking? Say it with me. 1 John 5:13. Here we go. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. No. I know I'm saved. Amen. I have written in my Bible, right beside of that verse, says, if you believe, you can know. And if you know, you can believe. That's pretty neat, isn't it? That's nothing profound. All I did was write what the Bible says. If you believe on the name of the Son of God, you may know. And when you know, you can believe on the name of the Son of God. In other words, I got all I needed. When I got Jesus, he inclined unto me and he heard my cry. And you know what he gave me? He gave me salvation. He gave me everlasting life. Not only did he give me security, Salvation. He gave me security. Getting ahead of myself. Notice what the Bible says back in Psalm 40. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Then look what else he did. And set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He anchored us in the rock of ages. He anchored us in the rock, the Lord Jesus. He is our rock, our Redeemer. He is our refuge in a time of trouble. There's nobody else like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock of our soul and the rock of our salvation, in whom we can trust. He is our deliverer. He is the buckler of our salvation. He is our fortress. He is our refuge. He is our stronghold in a day of trouble. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. You see, we have security when we're in Jesus. So how do you know that, preacher? Well, let's look. John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. Will you look with me? John chapter number 10. We're going to begin reading in verse number 25. The Lord Jesus is speaking here. There's no greater authority in all the world than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 10, and verse number 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There's some things you need to think about in this security. First of all, you need to get it settled. You need to get settled today the fact that you have salvation, that you've called upon the name of the Lord and that you put your faith in Him. There's too many people walking around wondering, am I or am I not? Heaven or hell? Assurance or not? And I want to tell you something, dear friends, if you do not know that you are saved, then you're not walking in victory. How are you saved? Well, we've already talked about that. It's simply putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross of Calvary. Understand that Jesus paid it all. Because once you put your faith in Him, you can know that you have eternal life. And when you know that you have eternal life, you know what you have? You have security. Isn't it pretty good to know that you're secure? You know, some of y'all put all kinds of guns and weapons in your house, and you say, bless God, I'm secure. I have something greater than any 30-06, any 45. I don't even know the names of guns. Winchester, or, you know, that is a gun, right? I got something greater than that. I have the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And here's what the Bible says. John chapter number 10. He says, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. In other words, you need to get it settled. You need to know that you're one of His sheep. This is what He said. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Let me ask Him, does He speak to you? He says, my sheep know my voice. Does the Lord Jesus ever speak to you? You say, well, I hadn't heard, you know. I'm talking about does He speak to you? I'm talking about does He move your life? Does He work in your heart and work in your soul when you're reading the Word of God? Does He say, I'm talking to you? Or can you just go along your merry way, living in sin, living in unrighteousness, and never hear His voice saying, that's wrong? I'm telling you, as a believer, He speaks to us. He says, "My sheep hear My voice." He said I know them and they follow Me. And this is what He says, "My sheep, I give unto them eternal life." How long is eternal life? It's forever, isn't it? The life that He gives you is forever. It's forever life. He says, "They shall never perish." That word perish means to be dead, to be separated from God. And His sheep will never perish. In other words, we are secure in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what He said. He said, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." I am secure in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, "My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." I'm telling you, with God the Father and God the Son working together, and then the Holy Spirit placing me into that covenant and sealing me up, I am secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are so many Christians that are out there. They've cried unto the Lord. They've been saved by the grace of God. And then they walk around and they're thinking, "Do I or do I not? Have I got it or have I not? Am I saved or am I not?" Look, it's not you you're doubting. It's Him you're doubting. And we need to quit doubting the Lord. Have you done what the Bible says to be saved? Then you ought to be secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. He inclined unto me and He heard my cry. And He gave me some things. He gave me salvation. Salvation is not some difficult chore. It's not some, you know, you've got to say so many Hail Marys and all this stuff and then you're saved. No. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I say. That's not what our denomination says. That's not what religion says. That's what God says. And He gives us salvation through His grace. And He gives us security. I found out one thing. When I feel secure just in life, I feel so much better about things. Right? Anybody like to ride them wild rides at these places? Smart people. I'll get on one. And to be honest with you, every time I get on one, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm so scared. And then they put that thing on me. And a big old guy like me, some of them things don't fit real good. But they'll pull one of them things, them cages down over top of me. And I'm in there and I say, "Man, it don't matter. I can't go anywhere." You know? Now, there may be something come out of me that ought not come out of me, but I'm not going anywhere. I feel secure. I've done that. You know, you get in a car, what do? First thing you do? Put a seatbelt on. You should. If you don't, you ought to be ashamed. You ought to teach your kids you put a seatbelt on. So that has nothing to do with what you're preaching. Well, it does in a sense. I feel better when my kids put a seatbelt on. They're secure. In other words, if I have to stop real fast, I feel like they're secure. You can ask my son. He's the world's worst. Every time we get in the car, I say, "Son, put your seatbelt on." I was going to, Dad. I say, after all these years, how can you forget to put your seatbelt on? I grew up never putting a seatbelt on. You didn't have to put a seatbelt. I grew up, we had those big cars that had the big windows in the back. You know what I'm talking about. Had like a real deep little platform back there. I'd ride down the road laying down up in that window. No security. You know, and nobody really thought about it. Of course, people didn't drive as crazy, I don't think, back then. And them cars were tanks. They were made out of metal, not out of fiberglass. You know, you could run into one of them and nobody could tell it. Especially the one my mom and dad had. That thing was as long as this church. That's the first car I drove. I'll never forget. I didn't date, so I didn't take any dates out on it. But anyway, nobody would go out with me. But, I'm talking about this is a car that was as long as this church. And when you would push the gas, all kinds of smoke would come out of the back of it. You know, everybody know where I'd been. I remember that car. I never put a seatbelt on. Then we got wise, didn't we? We found out that seatbelt saves lives. In other words, that security is good for you. There's a lot of us going around that are saved, but we're not secure. We begin to think, "Well, because I've done this." No, it's not about what you've done. Jesus did it all. When he paid for your sins, he didn't pay for part of your sins, he paid for all your sins on the cross of Calvary. And you ought to be secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, security will bring you victory. You need to get it settled once and for all that you know that you're saved and that you're secure in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man is able to pluck you out of His hand, and you've got eternal life. He says, and you'll never perish. And His Father, which is greater than Him, gave you to Him, nobody's able to pluck Him out of His hand. And He and His Father are one. I'm telling you, we ought to be secure today. This is what happens when we cry unto the Lord. This is what happens when we call upon His name. We ask Him to save us, and He saves us. And He gives us salvation, and He gives us security. But then I want you to notice the third thing He gives us. He gives us a song. This is why you need security. Because if you don't have the security, then you don't have a song. If it is a song, it's a song of doubt and unsettledness. It's a song of no assurance. But the Bible says, He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. You know what happens when you realize that you've got it? He gives you a song. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We sing a song. We have a song. I've always wondered how Christians could sit in a service and not sing. At least open up the book and look at the words. The words mean something. You know, even the songs that were being sung this morning, the songs that we were talking about when we were singing, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. I tell you, when you know you're saved, that song means something to you. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Brother Bob went home. Couple weeks ago. Brother Keith went home just a few short days ago. But I want you to know where they are. They're in a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, I'm seeing it afar. But one of these days, my faith shall become sight, dear friends. I'll meet Brother Bob over on the other side. I'll meet Brother Keith over on the other side. I'll meet Miss Ruby and Miss Mildred over on the other side and the blessed loved ones and Brother Bill. I'm going to talk with him and I'm going to see him again. I'm telling you what, there's a land that's fairer than day. And when we open up those song books and we begin to sing, I begin to think I've got a song, and it's a song that's real because I'm safe and secure in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a day when I cried out to Him. He inclined unto me and He heard my cry. And what a difference it's made. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, picked me up out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my going, and He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. We need to learn to sing all over again. We need to learn to have a song in our heart all over again. We need to be going around singing the praises of our God. The Bible says, in Psalm 100, verse number 2, the Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I think we need to learn. He said, verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lambs. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord He is God, it is He that madeth, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endureth to all generations. You know what the Bible says? We ought to have a song. We ought to realize who He is, what He's done. When He inclined unto us and He heard our cry, when He picked us up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, when He set our feet upon a solid rock and He established our going, He put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we're to be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to the Lord. In other words, we ought to have a song. It's not something we're hiding. It's something we're revealing. We're revealing what God has done for us. That's why I think everybody in a service like this that's a Christian ought to open up a songbook and sing out these praises of God. Because we have a song. And what we're doing is we're revealing, this is what I have. Because He inclined unto me and He heard my cry. He changed my life and He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. So why is it important that we have the song? Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Our song is our witness. I told you, I don't know, I've said this so many times, but just recently in a service, I told you how my grandmother couldn't sing. I mean, she couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. It was rough. But she had a song. I remember her over the stove making biscuits and cream of wheat. My papa liked cream of wheat. And she made that cream of wheat. By the way, I like cream of wheat. I like grits. There's not much I don't like. But anyway, I remember her bent over that song and she'd be humming all day long. She'd be cooking and cleaning. And she'd be humming Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Or In the Sweet By and By. And she couldn't sing, but she had a song. I want to tell you what I heard. And she influenced my life. One of the greatest things that happened the night that I got saved was I was able to tell my grandmother, I trusted your Jesus. The one that you've sung about, the one that I've heard you live for all these years. She was real. And now, I have a song. Well, I can't sing as good as a lot of people can sing, but I have a song. And when my family's not in the car, I'm singing a lot of times. When they're in the car, I start and they stop me. But that's all right. I'll be singing and they'll say, Daddy, you're off key. We'll go on a trip and they'll all be trying to sleep and I'm trying to stay awake. So I start singing and everybody's awake. But I had a song. It happened the day I got saved. Here's the problem. I'm not always singing that song. Because there's a lot of times in my life when I fail to remember how secure I am in the Lord. And I start looking around and I start seeing all the troubles of this world and I start getting afraid and I lose my song. But then He has to remind me, who has me? Then I get my song back. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. Trouble and sorrow, they've vanished away. I have been redeemed. Don't matter what this world throws at me, I'm safe. I'm secure. What's on key? Do you understand? I hope there's been a day where you cried unto the Lord. Because I can assure you of this, if you cried to Him, He heard you. And He inclined unto you. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. He says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible teaches us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, if you want it, you can have it. And He's already paid for it. He's offering it to you. He'll incline unto you and He'll hear your cry. And when He does, He'll give you salvation. You can have security. And then you can sing your song. And when you do, many's going to see your salvation. They're going to understand your security. And they're going to hear your song. And the Bible says that they'll see it, they'll fear, and they'll trust in the Lord. The reason we are not impacting our world is because we've lost our song. A song doesn't always have a melody, but it does have words. And our song may not be that we're singing, it may be that we're telling others about what Jesus has done for us in our lives. Let's tell the world about Him. He's a great Savior. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. Lord, I pray today as we consider these things, Lord, I pray that there's been a day in every one of our lives where we've called unto You and we've trusted You. Lord Jesus, I pray for the one that may be here today that doesn't have that assurance. I pray today they get it settled once and for all. If they're here without Christ as Savior, that today would be the day that they come and trust Thee. I pray for those that have made a profession of faith, but Lord, they're walking in doubt and fear all the time. Oh God, I pray that You would help them. Help them, Lord. Help them to see that we can be secure in Thee. Lord, that we can hear Your voice and follow You. Be safe in Your hands. Nobody's able to pluck us out. Lord, help us. Help us to believe Your word. And Lord, help us to have a song. Everywhere we go, Lord, may we be singing of Thee and telling of Thee. May it be so real to us, Lord, that we can't hold it in. Lord, that we have no desire to hide it, but Lord, we have desire to reveal to the world our faith in Thee. Lord, we'll give You the praise for what You do. Help us to respond in this time of invitation. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as the piano begins to play, I want to ask you just...